You would turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We're going to be looking at a passage here for our lesson this morning. We are continuing a series that we started last week, looking at some big words in the Bible. Sometimes they're words that we read and we're not quite sure what they mean or not quite sure how to explain them. And they're words that, despite this, are important. And they play a significant part in the scheme of redemption and the hope that we have in the gospel. Last week we talked about the word propitiation and how that was connected to the sacrifice of Christ and the mercy that was extended to us in that sacrifice. And here we're going to be looking at another word. This is one that is a little bit more familiar to us probably because this word or variation of it we use more often in our everyday language. We talk about being reconciled or reconciling two things together, or we might talk about reconciliation between two parties or two groups. So we're a little bit more familiar with this word, but this is one that we do need to understand what it means and how it fits into what we're talking about. All of these words that we're looking at in this series, there is, Lord willing, we'll be doing five lessons in this series. And the text for all these lessons is going to be found in the book of Romans. We had Romans chapter 3 last week. We have Romans 5 this week. Because the book of Romans really talks about in broad terms or in overall or an overview of what the gospel is about, what the message of the gospel is. And all of these ideas that we're talking about in this series are tied into that message of the gospel. The message or the idea of propitiation that we talked about last week and reconciliation as we're talking about this week and the other ideas we'll look at throughout this series. We'll look at sanctification and justification and also resurrection. Those are the ideas we're talking about. And again, all of these Paul emphasizes in the book of Romans as all part of the gospel message. But sometimes when we have words like this, it's easy for us to get tripped up on them or not quite sure what they mean or how to explain them to other people. So that's what we want to do in this series, is be able to simplify all of these things to help us understand them for ourselves and also to be able to explain them to others. So I want to start by reading these verses here, Romans chapter 5. Beginning in verse 6, as we look at this idea of reconciliation. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So that's the word that we're talking about there, that word reconciliation. Well, what does that mean? That Greek word refers to a restoration of divine favor, that God had viewed us favorably and then something happened where he no longer viewed us favorably, and so that had to be restored. The enmity between God and man had to be removed so that we could once again come together. And the King James uses the word atonement there in verse 11, that through him we have now received the atonement. And we also talked about atonement last week, that these words are connected to one another, that they cannot be separated from one another. That we talked about the propitiation or the propitiatory sacrifice of Jesus was, well, he, in doing that, made reconciliation possible. But some of the other translations, and usually not ones that we use because they are more paraphrases than more literal translations that we typically use. I'm reading from the New American Standard. I know there are others that that are commonly used, the English Standard Version or the New King James. Some people here use the NIV as well. There are other versions that I noticed as I was looking up these verses in different translations. Several of them used a different type of phrase that I thought was helpful here to help us understand this. One of these was the New Century Version that I was able to find online. But it says that through Him, we are now God's friends again. And you think about that idea that we were separated from Him, that we did not have a good relationship with Him, but now we can be friends with God again. That's this idea, the fellowship that we have, that we can have that enmity removed, we can be reconciled to Him. Jesus' death on the cross is what enabled us to be reconciled to God. And this passage here that we just read in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, explains all about this. How Jesus, when He offered His life on the cross, He did it while we were helpless, while we were still sinners, while we were enemies of God. But it was through His sacrifice that we could be reconciled to God, that we could be friends again, as that one version that I mentioned and several others as well use that same type of language, that we can be on friendly terms with Him again. So that's what this word means. When we see this word reconciliation, that's what it's talking about. But I want us to make sure we understand this concept and what is going on here, what is being referred to. When we have a reconciliation, that necessarily means that there was a separation. If we were no longer on friendly terms with God and that had to be restored, that we are now friends with God again, well, there was a separation that took place. If you are friends with someone and then all of a sudden you're not friends with someone and then something has to happen to bring you together, well, there was something, some event that happened or something that caused a rift between you and the person that you were friends with, that they're no longer considered your friend, or you would not count them as your friend. Something happened between them, either one event that just completely severed the friendship, or years of neglect and building up of that, but it caused a distance to grow between you that you no longer consider yourselves to be friends anymore. And for you to be friends again, there has to be a reconciliation. There has to be a coming together again. Well, there was a separation between God and man. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, it talks about this separation, that as we were without God, we were separated from Him. He said in Ephesians 2 and verse 12, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers of the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He's writing to the Gentiles that you were not part of that chosen people of God. He says you were without God. You were separated from Him. And that separation, as we read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It was that sin that caused the separation. Isaiah 59:2 that said that your sin separates you from God. It wasn't that God did something and so we can't be friends with God anymore, or we can't have that relationship with Him anymore. It wasn't because God did anything wrong. It was because we sinned. We fell short and caused that separation, because sin separates us from God. But God was the one in reconciling us, in restoring that relationship. He was the one who took the initiative. If you have two friends who are separated from one another, that are no longer considered friends with one another, if they're going to come back together, one of them has to take the initiative. One of them has to be willing to go to their friend and say, well, we have this that's between us. We need to get over this. We need to do whatever we can to move past this. That if I've done, this I've done wrong, that I'm sorry for this, and work through that. One of them has to take the initiative. Well, when we talk about the reconciliation that we have that we can be reconciled to God. God was the one who took the initiative in this. Paul wrote about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, where he says over in that passage, Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That God was the one who took the first step. God was the one who took the initiative. That he wanted us to be reconciled to him. So he is the one who sent Christ, who gave the apostles this ministry of reconciliation. He was the one who took that step in order to make reconciliation possible. But we have to respond to this. We have to be willing to be reconciled. We've been studying in our Bible class in the book of Acts how when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he told them, you need to repent. You've crucified Christ. You need to repent and be baptized. But that repentance is a turning back to God. In chapter 3 and verse 19, he says, repent and be converted. That you have to turn back to God. God did all of this. He sent his son. He made it so that we could be reconciled to him. But we have to be willing to turn to him. Verse 20 of this passage in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. God wants us to be reconciled to him, and he took the initiative to that we could be reconciled to him. But we have to be willing to come toward him, to repent, and to make that effort that we have to be reconciled to God. It's not all on one party. When the reconciliation happens, and one friend says, well, I want to restore a relationship with this other friend, well, that other friend needs to be willing to restore that relationship. Otherwise, there's no reconciliation. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. And they're still going to be separated and not on friendly terms with one another. God took the initiative, but we have to be willing to humble ourselves and repent and be willing to be reconciled to him. But as we think about this concept of reconciliation, this same word, the same Greek word, is used to describe the restoring of a broken marriage over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we've talked about friendship a lot so far in this lesson, but the scriptures also use this in terms of a marriage that has been broken, and now there needs to be a reconciliation to help bring that couple back together. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, it says, but to the married I give instructions, not I, but the Lord, that the wife should not leave her husband. But if she does leave, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and that the husband should not divorce his wife. That there is a breaking of that relationship. And we know from what the scriptures teach that when it talks about this marriage that has been broken, this marriage that is no longer functioning, this wife has left her husband. We know in Matthew 19, Jesus does give an exception that if a spouse commits fornication, well, in that case, the wife could put away her husband and she could leave. And this passage is not talking about that. Generally speaking, unless fornication happens, marriage is meant to be permanent. When Jesus was asked there, in Matthew 19, he gave that exception, except for fornication. But before that, they were asking Jesus, well, can a man put away his wife for any reason at all? And he told them what the rule is before saying that, well, yes, you can do this for this reason. He says the rule is that God made from the beginning male and female. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife. The two shall be one flesh. And what God has joined together, let not man separate. God intended marriage to be a lifelong relationship. And yes, if there's unfaithfulness, fornication that occurs, then one has the right to put away their mate and remarry. But aside from that, marriage is meant to be permanent. Well, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, What if fornication didn't happen? And the wife, she leaves. And maybe she thought she had a good reason for leaving. We're not told what the reason is. But she leaves. Paul says she is to remain unmarried, or else, what would be preferable? She be reconciled to her husband. That she come back, that relationship be restored, because God bound them together. He intended for that relationship to last a lifetime. And so the preferable thing, if it is possible, and again, reconciliation requires both parties to be willing to do this. The husband has to be willing to be reconciled. But if possible, reconciliation needs to happen. Because that's what God's design is. That's what His intention is for marriage. Marriage is meant to be permanent. If a separation happens, and again, not because of fornication, where a wife puts away her husband or her husband puts away his wife for fornication, but if a separation occurs for some other reason, reconciliation, if that is at all possible, that needs to be the goal. That needs to be what we are working for. There may be problems that need to be worked out. There may be issues that need to be addressed and repentance that needs to happen. But reconciliation should be the goal. Both parties have to be willing to come together to do that. But as we think about this concept of reconciliation, that you have a marriage relationship, two people are bound together by God, and then they become separated from one another. They have to be willing to come together. One of them has to take the first step, but they have to both be willing to be reconciled. But thinking about this in terms of a marriage is helpful, because the church is described as the bride of Christ. That relationship between Jesus and the church is described as a marriage relationship. The church is the bride of Christ, as Ephesians 5 talks about. But over in Ephesians chapter 2, the bride of Christ, which is the body of Christ, as Ephesians 1 talks about at the end of that chapter. But you look at Ephesians chapter 2. We read already verse 12, where it says that those who were Gentiles, they were separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise. They had no hope, and they were without God in the world. Well, Jesus came. We've already read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And also Romans chapter 5 here in our text. But Jesus came in order to bring reconciliation, that we can be on friendly terms with God again. Verse 16 says that He might reconcile them both Jews and Gentiles, reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. That both Jews and Gentiles can come together, can be reconciled in one body, in that church. That church that is the bride of Christ. You think about marriage. God intends marriage to be a lifelong relationship. Well, here you have Jesus and the church. And we are part of that church. We are to be in that lifelong fellowship with the Lord. And if we become separated from that, we need to come back to Him. He's taken the first step in order to make that possible, but we have to be willing to return to Him. But we think about reconciliation in terms of a friendship or in terms of a marriage, that a relationship is broken and that needs to be restored, so that way the two parties, the two people, they can come together again. That's what we're talking about here with reconciliation. We were separated from God, but through this reconciliation, we can now be in fellowship with God again. To go back to Romans chapter 5, as we talked about the concept, what this word means, and also the concept behind it in terms of friendship and in terms of marriage, go back to Romans chapter 5 and see what we can take this understanding and put it into this context and help us understand what Paul is saying here in these verses. Paul had already talked about in Romans 3 and verse 23 that all were dead in sin. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. We also talked about that last week, that we were in this condition. We were all in sin. And verse 6 says that we were helpless. We were helpless in this condition because we were unable to remedy the situation. We were unable to fix this because when we think about what caused the separation, that you have sin that separated us from God. Well, it wasn't God who sinned against us. It was us. We sinned against God. So without Him being willing to restore that relationship, there's nothing we can do. There are no amount of good works or things that we might do to cause God to forget that sin or to overlook that sin if He's not willing to do it. He had to be willing to take the first step. So we were in a condition that because of our sin, we were helpless. We could not save ourselves. We could not erase that sin. We could not take away that separation. We were in a helpless condition. So Jesus died for us while we were still sinners. As verse 8 says here in Romans chapter 5, God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The verse that we looked at in our lesson last week was over in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. Again, all of this that we're talking about here is all related, especially these first two lessons, propitiation and reconciliation, are closely connected to one another. And so there's some overlap between them. But in 1 John 4 and verse 10, we looked at this verse last week. But it says, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." This was the love of God that was displayed to us, that He was willing to send His Son to die on the cross to be that propitiatory sacrifice, the sacrifice that extended God's mercy to us, that delayed the wrath of God to allow us to the opportunity to be saved, be forgiven of our sins. That was a demonstration of the love of God. Well, He says here in Romans 5 and verse 8, God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But there's another thing He mentions here in Romans chapter 5. We were helpless. We were sinners. But He also says we were enemies of God there in verse 10. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. It wasn't just that we just weren't paying attention to God, or we just let that relationship slip. That can happen with a friendship. It can even happen with a marriage where a couple drifts apart from one another because that relationship is neglected. But you see this a lot with friendships, that people you were friends with in the past, that you're just not friends with them anymore. It's not because anything happened. It's just because you just don't talk to them anymore. You may live in different places. You are at a different point in life and different stage in life. And there's, you just have drifted apart. And there's no animosity there. There's just, we're just not friends. I know who they are. I like that person, or I respect that person, but I wouldn't consider that person a friend anymore. That is common for that to happen. That's not the type of break in relationship that happens when we are separated from God. There's not a friendship and then, or we could be enemies with God, or we could be somewhere in the middle and we're just not really one or the other. We were enemies of God. There is no middle ground in this. Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse 30 that He who is not with me is against me. We have to recognize that if we are not in the right relationship with God, then this is the condition we find ourselves in. We are the enemies of God. We might like to think that, well, we're just like that friendship that just kind of drifted apart, and, well, I don't hate that person. I don't think myself as an enemy of that person, but I'm just not really friends with that person anymore. That's not how it is in this case. You are either with me or you're against me. And Paul said here, we were the enemies of God. But through the sacrifice of Christ, it says there in verse 11, we have now received the reconciliation. We've now received the atonement, as the King James Version uses that word. And we talked about that word last week, that word atonement. And you break that apart to say at-one-ment, that we can be, again, one with the Lord, one with God. We can have fellowship with Him again. So it was through this sacrifice of Christ, we can be reconciled to God, and we now exult in God. That word exult means to boast. The article in the bulletin that was passed out earlier talks about this idea. It goes through this passage about how we boast in God, or we exult in God. This is one of the reasons why we exult in God, because we have received the reconciliation, because He was willing to do this. We praise Him for it. We boast in Him, not in ourselves, because we know we were the ones who ruined that relationship in the first place. We were the ones who sinned and caused a separation. So it's not that, well, look at how great we were, that we were able to convince God to be friends with us again. No, we were the ones who caused the separation. We were enemies. We were sinners. God was willing to make that reconciliation happen. So we exult in God. We boast in Him. And going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, this is, in essence, the message of the gospel. This is why the gospel is preached. And that passage that was read earlier before the lesson about how the gospel has been preached in all creation under heaven, this was the message that was given to reconcile man to God. Well, that's what this passage also talks about here in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. That work of reconciling man back to God. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. That's what was necessary. There is no reconciliation without that. Not counting the trespasses, their trespasses against them. Because of that propitiation sacrifice, that mercy that was extended, He's not going to count their sins against them. He has committed to us this word of reconciliation, the message of the gospel that can lead to that healing of that relationship, that we can have the atonement, that at-one-ment with God. We can be one with Him again. And it's through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. So Jesus, as we think about the message of the gospel, what is entailed in that? Jesus gave His life on the cross to reconcile us to God. As Paul said here in Romans 5, we were helpless without His sacrifice. There's nothing we could do to save ourselves. We were separated from God because of our sin. And this made us enemies of God, because there is no middle ground. We're either with God or we are against Him. But we can be at one with Him. We can have fellowship with Him through the death of Jesus on the cross. But again, God took the first step, but two parties need to agree to be reconciled for reconciliation to happen. Two parties need to be willing to come together. God took the first step. He sent His Son that we could be saved, we could be reconciled to Him. But we have to respond to that. As Paul said there in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, this is the appeal that we're making, to be reconciled to God. We have this ministry of reconciliation. Christ came to reconcile us to God, but you be reconciled to God. He's done everything that He has to do in order to restore that relationship. Now, if you are not in a right relationship with God, then the question is for you, do you want to restore that relationship? Do you want to be on friendly terms with God? Do you want to be reconciled to Him? Because He's done everything that He needs to do in order to welcome you back. You just need to be willing to return to Him. To do what the people on the day of Pentecost were told to do. Repent and be baptized to have your sins washed away and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That fellowship with God, that you can be one with Him again. Those who are not Christians, that's what you can do. You can do that today to have your sins washed away. And if you've done that and become a Christian and have departed from Christ and you need to be reconciled to Him, you can repent of your sin and pray to God and ask Him for forgiveness, and you can be reconciled to Him as you once were. But whatever your need is, if you need to make corrections in your life, if you need to be reconciled to Him, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.